everyone. Welcome to the Add to My Playlist podcast. I have an amazing guest with me today. We're going to be talking about music, movies, and so much more. Governor Tom is here with me, and I've been listening to his music on Spotify. I love it. As a songwriter myself, this is a huge joy for me. Governor Tom, welcome to the Add to My Playlist podcast. Great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Dave. Thank you.
And where are you joining us from today? Where in the world are you?
I am at the moment, you know, I was running around getting stuff done this morning, and I wound up I'm in South Pasadena, where I lived for a short time, and as a young teenager, and I just knew it was about as quiet as I was going to get in Los Angeles. So here I am.
Awesome. I'm up in Canada. Do you come to Canada often? Have you been up here before?
I've been to Canada twice. I work in Toronto as an actor when I filmed the Nora Ephron film, This Is My Life. That was a lot of fun. And then I did a job as a very young man. I got this job running around the country photographing car dealerships for a new sign program. And I went through some of Southern Canada because I was doing the whole Northern United States. I drove like 12,000 miles in 2 months. And I got to see a lot of Canada, actually. It's quite lovely.
Well, there you go. Awesome. You can come back anytime. We'll keep the door open for you. That's great. So on top of your musical career, which we're going to get into, and I'm really excited to talk about, again, the idea that I get to chat with you is a thrill for me. Three of my favorite movies that come off the top of my head that you've been in: The Fugitive, U.S. Marshals, Under Siege. Great movies. Great. I love your characters in these movies. Just share a little bit about your acting background. And I know you did a lot of stuff in the past. Can you kind of give us a little taste of what you did there?
Yeah, I did. You know, I did a lot of, you know, I really focused on acting. I studied, you know, I was pretty much studying music and drama, you know, once I committed to go into the entertainment. And it was hard to decide which, but I sort of put all my eggs into the acting basket. And I had a really good stretch of acting roles for about a good 10, 15 years. And yeah, all those movies were great to be a part of. I learned, I mean, the amazing thing about being an actor is that you get to learn so much, you know, from Under Siege. It was it was amazing working with Steven Seagal and seeing how brilliant he was at choreographing a fight scene. When you work in movies and you know that time is money and every, you know, minute is tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you work with somebody who can just choreograph a fight scene like that and just get it done, it's a pretty amazing thing to be a part of.
It's kind of, it would be interesting for me too to see the behind the scenes of how all this stuff is, how this sausage is made, and the stunts and the special effects and all the interesting things that you get to be a part of behind the scenes. That would be, I'm curious about that as well. That'd be kind of fun to see the prop master and all of that stuff as well, and all the stunts. That must be amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, if you've done it a while, it gets a little sort of, you know, like routine part of the job feeling like, and you know, you kind of have to remind yourself that for most of the, you know, population, this is, it's a big mystery how these things are done, like as you're describing. So it is cool to sort of like to get to experience it firsthand, for sure.
It's amazing. So okay, let's jump over to the musical side. I know in reading up on you and stuff, you were playing piano at a young age and within your family and stuff and learning there. Are you still playing piano? I know you do guitar as well.
You know, I've stuck with guitar pretty much. I mean, I get on the piano when I'm working on arrangements to just make sure that I'm getting a good balance of, you know, of the frequency spectrum for the overall song, and make sure I'm not, you know, overloading any sort of part of, you know, what's available to our ears sound wise. Trying to make that balance, to me that's really key in making music. I think it can be a bit of a trap if you don't look out for that from the start. You can kind of wind up in a more challenging place as you go along. But so yeah, so not so much piano, mostly guitar. I really love the guitar.
Amazing. So the one thing I love finding out from other musicians is who kind of makes up the mix. If we could throw everything in a blender musically, your inspirations, it kind of help direct you as an artist as well as a songwriter. Who are some of your sources that you draw from that inspire you musically?
You know, mostly a lot of, you know, singer-songwriters is really where I get most of my inspiration from, because I just, you know, we live in a time of a lot of really manufactured entertainment products, and with what we can do, you know, artificially and through computers and all that is so amazing. But I'm just concerned a little bit about the balance of, you know, of keeping, you know, the real humanity in the work. So to me, I really sort of approach everything really organically in creating the sounds and the stories of the music that I'm writing. And to do that, it has to be somewhat, has to be personal. So I really, you know, I did a lot of screenwriting and script writing before I turned those, you know, energies to music, which was a really interesting transition, actually. But I've just found that, you know, anything that motivated me to invest writing time that I felt like I was going to get some result, it would always leave me empty. And the writing that kind of like just came to me and was like, you know, okay, get up, get out of bed or pull over on the freeway and write this down. It was like those either scripts or songs that came from that kind of inspiration that I then committed to and followed through on. Those have been really, really rewarding. So, I pretty much am a kind of a writer. I know there's a lot of writers out there that can just write for hire or just write. But to me, at this point, I really just, I can recognize now when that inspiration, when there's something really true, you know, to really write about. And that's really the only place I'll put my, you know, writing energies these days.
Talk a little bit about the difference between studio life and being up on stage and performing live. I guess you can get joy in both, but what's your default? Where do you feel most at home? Is it at the studio or the stage?
You know, I have to say I feel more at home. That's a really good question. They complement each other, Dave. It's like, yeah. What I've learned through, you know, for example, well, I was doing a big scene in U.S. Marshals, and we were outside on the streets of New York City, and there was thousands of people, and it's so hard to focus on that. And all I really had to do was like run up and down some subway stairs. But really, it's just a whole other dynamic when you're that exposed doing the work. And when you're on like a stage, like, you know, in a theater, you have this sort of invisible, but you know, you have a boundary. Right. So that gives you a little more comfort and security. But then when you get to recording, I built myself this sort of portable vocal booth with some PVC and blankets. And I've learned, you know, I've basically been engineering my own music. So I'm at a point now where I can go into a studio and I can set up my little vocal booth and record. And Public Eye, the last single I released, was the first time I ever, you know, really, well, no, both that and Architects of Love. I was able to just, it was only me there, Dave. It was just, wow. Just me. And to me, I discovered that I really do my best work when I'm entirely alone. I really do. It's sad to say, but I mean, as far as recording goes, you know, when you've got that pressure that you know you're laying down something and it's going to be there for, you know, it's going to represent that song, even though music is always alive and changing and dynamic. That's going to be the snapshot in time where that song was in that moment in time. And so to have the space of just being completely alone, I've discovered shockingly that it's a really comfortable place for me to actually perform alone, ironically.
Nice. Talk a little bit then about some of the artists that are performing with you on the tracks that you have. We're going to talk about them coming up. Tell me a little bit about who you've been working with and what they've kind of added to the project.
I gladly, because the people I've worked with are so amazing. I mean, I guess I kind of, the cat's a little bit out of the bag. If you listen to these songs, you know, no, they weren't all, not every, you know, part of the song was recorded at the same time in the same room. So I guess I've kind of blown that now, but you know, who cares that, you know, yeah. People are aware these days. It's not a big deal. So I worked with these amazing musicians, that I met through, you know, just getting, you know, poking around in the LA jazz scene, because there's amazing artists here, and going out and listening to people. And then, so overall, the general answer to your question is that I recorded my rhythm first because I felt like if I had a really tight rhythm, then I could sort of build on that. And this guy Chris Steele, I had volunteered to during Christmas time to go and perform, sing Christmas music at nursing homes around LA. And I met this drummer, Chris Steele, amazing guy. He did a lot of touring with Otmar Liebert for a long while, and just an amazing drummer. And when you just have a good rapport with your fellow musician, then it just makes everything so much better. So, so then he brought in a bass player, a guy by the name of Joey Yu, who I think he's still the house band on American Idol right now. I can't keep up with him. He works all the time.
Wow.
And so we did that. So basically I just sang, I would sing full out while they were in another part of the studio recording, bass and drums. And then I brought in a trumpet player, Mike Rocha, who's a brilliant guy. He's played with Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band for a long time, and just really a beautiful, beautiful player. And I wanted the trumpet because my voice is just really big, and so I wanted the sort of instrument that I dialogued with, because a lot of music is dialogue between vocal and instrument, especially in rock. You have the lines, and then, the guitar player will sort of, it's almost like call and response, only between voice and an instrument. So I chose the trumpet for that, for this EP, for these tracks, because, and also because this particular player, because he's so expressive and plays with so much heart. So he was a joy. And then when I needed keys, I turned to an artist named Kerry Frank, who's just, he's amazing. He gigs all over LA all the time, and I know he's played. He's sat in with a bunch of bands when they come to town, like Tedeschi Trucks, and I can't remember offhand. But he's just amazing keys. So Living Wild just wasn't coming to life. So when I sent that to him, and I said, please save this song for me, and he did.
Please take my baby. Yes.
Yeah. So to me, what the amazing thing for me is that because I was still a bit of a journeyman, forming this, I didn't really know that this was going to be such an attractive path for me when I made the commitment to get into it. And I knew that I wanted to have the best players I could afford, to play along with me. But then they're so good. Like Chris, I go back to those drum tracks, and we were just, basically, I gave him, a chart, and then I would sing while he played, to sort of, I think that helped him understand just the sort of dynamics of what I was creating with the story and the vocals. But what he brought to it, because I went, over the time since then, and then adding the other instruments and doing the mixing and the recording, it's like, he created such a dynamic structure, he and Joe, with the rhythm section. They created such an amazing rhythm structure that was so experienced and so advanced and so smart that I literally, it's taken me a while to sort of catch up to them, to the gold that I got from these other musicians, and to really honor their work by, being able to complete the arrangements and redo the guitar parts, because now so much of what I was doing on the guitar was now covered by the rhythm section and the horn. So it's been a real journey, and they've been nothing but inspiration and guidance. And I'm so grateful to the choices that I made in working with them from the beginning. And I hope to work with them again in the future. That's for sure.
Yeah. The drums have this nice loose feel to that. It feels like it's almost like it's not in time at some points, and it's like so relaxed, but it's there. I love it. And then the bass just complements it so well. And what I love about playing with great musicians is really that saying about you're the sum of the people around you. That's kind of what happens musically, is all these people come with their own interpretations, and the song takes on a new life even beyond what you might have thought originally. So that's beautiful when that happens in the studio, and when it happens live even as well.
It's true. I'm so desirous of, you know, I'm hoping to get to the point where I can actually like have a true studio experience where I can like, where I really have, you know, the assets to bring these, you know, bring all these guys into a studio for, you know, 2, 3, 4 days and just, you know, and just really, you know, just draw, as you're saying, just, you know, draw from everything that they bring and do it more so in the moment than, you know, as a, you know, in contrast to the process that I've employed creating this first EP of, you know, having to have it a little bit more piece by piece. But God, the idea of just being like, wow, just being in a studio with these other incredible, you know, musicians and finding stuff and
yeah,
together, that would be an amazing experience. I hope to experience that one day.
And then like with a script, you're kind of tied to a script when you're acting and you have to do the lines, but musically you can go anywhere you want. And that's what I love is that randomness and the ability to turn left instead of going right. And you can do anything you want musically, and especially with your music. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I think you've hit the nail on the head because that's exactly what I'm talking about. In my music, it's sort of like, I mean, I feel like I achieved what I set out to achieve, and that I'm, you know, that musically the songs have an arc, and also lyrically the songs have an arc.
Yeah.
But some songs you hear on the radio, you know, when you hear music that's from a band that's been together, and you know, you'll often hear, like you're just describing, like just going off and like just the whole rhythm will change. Whereas you've got, you know, you've had one instrument or two sort of sounds driving the piece, then that sound, that driving sound, like will completely change for 16 yeah. measures or something like that. And I think those are the kinds of things that are discovered when you're working as a group in a studio together, as opposed to how, you know, the onus of creating everything and structuring it and creating the chart so that everybody can be on the same page and then sort of go from there. So like I said, I'm not denouncing that process because I love it and it's been a real challenge and I enjoy it, but I think my music will grow and, you know, it'll be fun in the future to have that experience where the songs can benefit from a little more spontaneity and, in bringing those sort of contrasty surprise elements and then like returning to the fundamentals and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I could talk to you all day, Governor Tom, about this. This is so much fun. Okay, but let's jump into the songs. We're going to start with A Man with a Hat, and I believe this was your first single. We're going to invite people to add this to their playlist here on the Add to My Playlist podcast, hence the name. But we're actually going to play the song in a few minutes, but can you kind of give us a little bit of a behind the scenes to A Man with a Hat? Because I love the song, by the way. It's beautiful. And I just kind of would like to get a little behind the scenes insight from your perspective for the listeners as well.
Thank you. So, you know, just quickly, I'd acted a lot. I'd sort of pulled out from acting because I had, you know, I was raising my kids and it was too much conflict. And then I was writing scripts and then I picked up my guitar and then all the script writing just became songwriting. And so with that, I'd picked up my guitar after many, many years and I was like, oh, wow, chord changes. Those are. So I would, in order to just refine some chord changes, I found, let me just write a song using these chord changes because then I know I will be motivated to practice it. If I have to sit down and just practice chord changes randomly, I'm not going to do it. So, and honestly, that's how Man with a Hat began. And so there I was like practicing these chord changes and I was like, okay, well, what am I going to sing about? And I'd written a poem when I was in college. So I was super young and it just seemed like the right, and it was called A Man with a Hat. And the original poem was a little different, but the fundamentals of that poem became the song, and so that's how A Man with a Hat was born. And it's, you know, as a really young man, you're still kind of figuring out who you are, and you know, I don't know about you, Dave, but I think, you know, we all come with some kind of blueprint with us, and I think, you know, discovering what that blueprint is goes hand in hand with the events in our lives. So we discover who we are by what we do in life. And I think that quest for identity is sort of what A Man with a Hat is about.
I spent time trying to figure out what the hat looks like. That's when I was listening, I'm like, what is this hat? That's when I first saw the title. I'm like, okay, I want to know more about the hat. That was what got me curious. Yeah. Awesome. So on this recording, the same people we mentioned earlier were all on here. Anybody extra on this
track? Correct. Nobody extra on this track.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So this is A Man with a Hat by Governor Tom. We're going to invite you to add this to your playlist here on Spotify. If you're with us on Spotify, the whole song's coming in a second. And if you're listening outside on YouTube, there's a link and you can actually listen on YouTube as well. So thank you so much for checking out this song, A Man with a Hat by Governor Tom. Please add this to your playlist right here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Hi, everyone. This is Dave from the podcast. Just jumping on quick to tell you about TrueMediaSolutions.ca. What is TrueMediaSolutions.ca, you're asking? Well, TrueMediaSolutions.ca is the umbrella that is over all the different podcasts that we do here for you. We have several different podcasts. So if you go to TrueMediaSolutions.ca, take a look and you'll find all of the different podcasts that my wife Jennifer or myself do either separately or together. Check us out. Find out more about the podcast that we're doing by going to truemediasolutions.ca. We'll meet you over there. See you soon. Okay, so that was A Man with a Hat by Governor Tom here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. A joy for me to talk to you because I love talking to musicians. And again, the movies. I love the movies. So Governor Tom, it's great to have you here. We're going to talk about Living Wild. This is another one that caught me as well. Let's talk a little bit about this, maybe a little bit about take us in the studio and the recording time for this. Anything unique happen when you were writing and recording the song?
This song was probably one of the most, definitely one of the more challenging because I'd written it as, you know, again, I'd written it on the guitar to really challenge myself for these chord changes. And the chord changes were really, really fast. And it was on the guitar. It was originally almost punk. It was like borderline punk, how I was originally playing it. And then when I considered recording it, I was like, well, what if I just slow it down a bit? And what if I give it more of like just a, you know, a solid sort of, you know, dance groove with maybe like even a little bit of sort of, you know, Latin kind of rhythm feel to it, and that seemed to work better. So that was the biggest challenge in Living Wild, was just really sort of like finding the right tempo that was gonna, because it's a lot of words. There's a lot of words in the song, and you know, too fast, and it would labor the lyrics, which I didn't want to do, and too slow, and it would lag. So that was the biggest challenge on Living Wild, and the thing that I love about Living Wild is what it talks about. It's sort of a parable about a mysterious unnamed boy and a girl, and sort of just describing them in sort of like enigmatic with a sort of enigmatic tone to kind of represent that part of each of us that remains wild throughout our whole lives. It's like we are so, I mean, it's amazing when you get to the age and you realize, you know, life could have been completely different. What if I lived in a time and an era and a place where there was no like public education? You know, it's like children were not taken out of their homes and sent to school, and people were not taken out of their homes and sent to jobs to make, you know, corporate profits. And, you know, what if things were just, you know, very different as they have been for most of the history of mankind? And it's, you know, we're forced and required to accept so much about, you know, quote unquote life. And then as you, and then you get to a point where you realize, well, that's just one definition of life. Right. And it's, you know, so I think Living Wild is about staying connected and honoring and including that part of ourselves that is always wild, and not only, and also prioritizing it. It's like, I guess for me, the personal journey of living wild, I'm just discovering and talking with you right now, was about really, really valuing that part and not feeling like, oh, well, you know, because it's just coming from me, it doesn't have, I can't react or respond to it as committedly as something that's more like socially approved or common or, you know, widely accepted. And to really, I think, embrace that part of myself, and for each of us to embrace that part of us that stays like really wild and connected with, you know, the fundamental energies of nature and our nature that are so important, because they, I think they really guide us. And I think it's in this modern world of so much that systemic, so much systemization of everything, that to really commit to those unique, often contradictory, you know, thoughts and feelings and expressions is so important. And so that, I think, and not only in relationships, but in life in general. So living wild touches on how it operates, like between an anonymous boy and girl and what they represent. But it's sort of, the lyrics set it into a background of, you know, there's lyrics like, we're so politicized, we're so theocratized, we're so consumerized. And that's a lot. I mean, it's just a few lyrics, but really on a day-to-day basis, it's so much. And to throw all that off and be able to just be, you know, pure and centered and true to who we are and what our blueprint and our journey is in this life is something that, you know, we have to remind ourselves almost daily, I think.
Nice. Okay. So everyone, this is Living Wild. Governor Tom here with us on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Please go ahead, add this to your playlist. You know, you just hit that little heart button and it's in your playlist. It's your song. It's with you all the time. Governor Tom, great to have you here. Living Wild here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Go ahead and add that to your playlist right now. That's great. Hey, thanks for dropping by the Add to My Playlist podcast. This is the external version of our podcast for non-Spotify listeners. But if you go to Spotify and sign up, you can actually hear the song played here in the podcast without leaving. It's great. Otherwise, you can check us out on YouTube. We'll have links to the songs that we're speaking about within the podcast that you can click on and hear the songs there on YouTube. But thank you so much for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. Jump over to Spotify and check us out over there and see what you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Okay, so that was Living Wild. Governor Tom here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Song number 3 out of 4. We're almost there, people, and I hope you're enjoying this. Architect of Love. This is, when I saw the description of the song, Governor Tom, I liked it. It was a naughty blues track. Living Wild was anonymous boy and girl. This track is not anonymous between a boy and a girl by any means, lyrically. The one thing that really caught me in this one was the uniqueness of the other voice on the track with you. Amazing female voice. And I love how her voice blends so nicely with yours. Well constructed song, and I really enjoyed it. So let's talk a little bit about Architect of Love, and can you kind of take us down the path of why this song is so naughty? Let's go there.
Okay. Yeah. So it's naughty because, you know, modern music is really naughty, and yet, you know, it's naughty. It's so on the surface naughty. It's so like blatant naughty, and honestly, you know, I've listened to a lot of modern music that, you know, that discusses things like, you know, it mostly discusses sex. It's not really that much about relationships. It's just about sex.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I struggle with it, Dave, honestly, because I just feel like, again, I think that, you know, if you look at someone's, you know, that sex over the course of a lifetime is such a necessary and healthy thing. And yet at the same time, it is so, used. It's used by, you know, I mean, they use it to sell paint. They use sex to sell, you know, everything on the one hand. And then musically, I think a lot of, I think there is just a lot of abuse of the sexual experience, because it's being so, it's being used in such a non-relational way. It's just, you know, it's just the pleasure in the act. So that this bothers me. It continues to bother me. So I wanted to write kind of like, I wanted to write a naughty song, because as an actor, I've done a lot of roles on the stage and theater where I've sung some pretty naughty songs, you know, in the context of shows and stuff. And so I realized that, you know, you learn about yourself as the world sees you, you know, because we're blind, always blind to a certain part of ourselves. And I realized, okay, well, I guess I have this gift for singing like about sex and having it be acceptable. So with that understanding, I wrote Architect of Love. But I didn't want it to be, you know, in your face. I wanted it to be a bit of an homage to the sort of songwriting that happened back in the early 20th century, where you couldn't use swear words. I mean, you couldn't. So it uses a lot of construction metaphors to really talk about sex. And it was sort of this song about seduction, and I had laid down the rhythm and I'd laid down my part, and I'd had, and I was working on it, and I was like, it's not working. I mean, I would sing this song out, and I would sing it live, and because of all the innuendo of what I'm singing, my lyric,
yeah,
it would, you know, it would get a really good connection with the audience. So it, as a live piece, as with just my voice, it worked great. But as a recorded piece, I was like, this is not working. So I was driving in my car one day, and I suddenly got this idea of making it like a duet, of adding like this other voice. So I hit my record button on my cell phone, and I was like just singing my part in my head, and I was sort of created all these responses. And then I knew this singer that I was a big fan of, and unfortunately I can't share her name because she's really not a background singer, and she's really not, you know, she's a solo artist herself. And so she just asked me, for the time being at least, to just let her remain anonymous, because she's doing certain career pursuits and she has some interest from labels and stuff, and she's got to be very much, you know, in control of her musical thing and all that. But that aside, her voice is amazing. I think that I agree. I think that our voices sound really good together. And she's, you know, I knew that she could sort of play it, because it's a story. It's sort of like, I mean, it's a seduction. It's literally like the song is like you're at a bar and, you know, and you're having like this sort of conversation, and it's a come on. The whole song is just one big come on. So to then finally get back and have a response for that, and she was able to just go so far and so out with it. And, you know, just back on the subject of sex, I read as an actor one time, I just read like, you know, the people who tend to get really big as you know, actor personalities are the ones who are not afraid to really expose true sexuality, not sensuality and not like seductiveness, but true sexuality. And so also in Architect of Love, I knew that was the challenge of being, you know, sort of my story about like being feeling exposed on a subway in New York City filming. It's just not easy to really expose a true sexual, committed sexual energy, you know, in your work, I think. And I just felt like that was something, as I said before, that came somewhat easily for me. I don't know why, but, you know, but I knew that I'd had to come from the singer that was going to sing in response with me. And I knew she could do it. And she delivered like, I guess, amazing. And her voice just amazing. And so, just really, really grateful for what she brought to that track. 'Cause again, you know, it was, as a recorded piece, it was not working the same way it did as a live piece, and I needed to find some remedy, and she killed it.
Amazing. So, you're listening to the podcast today. Thank you for listening to Governor Tom. This is Architect of Love, and if you love indie folk, jazz, blues, everything kind of thrown in a blender together, it's a really amazing lower register voice to Governor Tom. I love I love hearing your voice on these tracks. It's so unique and special. So Architect of Love here on the Add to My Playlist podcast, please go ahead and add this to your playlist. And we have one more song coming up to talk to you and share with you here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Thanks for listening. Please add this to your playlist today. Hey, so if you are interested, you know we do have a YouTube channel. Head over to our YouTube channel. Links are in the show notes. Come on over there and check out the songs that we talk about here on the episode. You can actually head over there, see them, hear them, add them to your YouTube playlist. Oh, yeah, you can do that. We won't charge anything. You can come and check out all the great songs we talk about and hear them over there, in addition to right here on Spotify. It's the Add to My Playlist podcast. Thanks for listening. Okay, everyone, that was Architect of Love here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Again, exciting for me as a host to have Governor Tom on today. I love his acting background and the stuff he's done in the past, but I love that he's come away from the camera and grabbed a microphone and hit the stage, and now he's going to share music with us. Public Eye is our last song that we're sharing with you today here on the podcast. It's the highs and lows of celebrity life, and I'm sure this song comes from well-founded knowledge from what you've lived, Governor Tom, in the past and to date. Can you kind of give us a background on Public Eye as we close off the podcast?
Yeah, Public Eye has been a real sort of another sort of a personal awakening journey for me. Just, you know, again, learning about myself. That's all, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I pulled out of the auditioning actor scene for a while because I just knew that there was more that I needed to discover by being more of a creative artist and an interpretive artist. So Public Eye, it's another song that, you know, again, chord changes, writing some lyrics. And it's about a girl. It's about a young, you know, we see these girls in our society, these young girls who are talented and then like exploited to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. And I think that not only does this happen to, you know, it can happen to anybody. You don't have to be a young girl. And in any industry, there's all kinds of, you know, forces out there wanting to exploit. But I just think it's so damaging and it's so sad. And Public Eye kind of like it examines how, you know, we as a society, you know, that we, you know, we buy into, you know, when we give that our attention or when we pay money for, you know, gossip magazines and stuff like that, it's like, what are we really empowering here? And how healthy or destructive is it? And I think it's, from, again, my personal journey, it's forced me to confront my own fear, Dave, like my own fear about celebrity, because I'm a celebrity on a very low level celebrity. I mean, I get recognized regularly, and so my life is not wholly anonymous. I'm not wholly my own when I'm out in public, et cetera. But I'm by no means, you know, any kind of star or superstar. And in many ways, that's been very comfortable for me, especially in raising my kids, because I really didn't, you know, I'd been close enough to stardom many times, and I'd seen the sort of the challenge it creates for families, and I didn't want that. And so my kids are mostly grown now, and I'm part of this, you know, getting back into the music is, you know, okay, I can start putting myself out there again, and now I have just a much more mature understanding of the whole process, and I just feel like I have, you know, sadly, I just didn't feel like I had the tools to really combat, you know, any kind of invasiveness or you know, negative attention that comes with big celebrity, and, you know, marry that with what I wanted to achieve as a parent and as a husband and as a family. So Public Eye really forced me to, you know, to own it, to really own, you know, just my reservations about like really pushing myself to become, you know, more of a known entity. And, you know, I know now at this point in my life, it's something that, you know, I'm prepared to handle, but knowing that and realizing that, then in writing Public Eye, I was like, God, can you imagine? It's like, can you imagine being, you know, a 16-year-old girl?
Yeah.
And being faced with all of those energies, and my God, what that must do to a person. And so that's Public Eye on a sort of inspirational level. And then on a more musical, technical level, you know, I was a singer my whole life. I had a bass baritone voice, and they say they take the longest to mature. And my voice was always so big, and I could never really, because I was sort of, whenever I had an opportunity to sing, it was usually live. And so singing into a microphone is a much different technique. Yeah. And so I think that over the course of this EP, I mean, not so much in Man with a Hat and Public Eye, but you'll hear more of the, you know, you'll know I'm a stage singer by listening to some of these songs. And I think with Public Eye, I finally like truly achieved, you know, vocal mic technique for recording. And I was able to achieve like really capturing what I, you know, not only what I wanted to say with my voice, but how I wanted to sound with my voice. And I feel like Public Eye is the first time that my skills and my techniques have congealed to really allow me to do that. And so personally, I'm really happy with Public Eye. I feel really good about that, not only as a song, but also as a recording.
Nice. I love that. Again, I love the insight behind the songs, because when we hear the song now, we hit play on this song, you have a new understanding and new appreciation for the music and what goes behind it. So, Governor Tom, I love having you on. This is amazing. Everyone, check out Public Eye. You're on Spotify. And again, if you're outside of Spotify, you can listen on Apple Music. You can listen on YouTube, all those great places. We'll have links for all that. But Public Eye, you're on the Add to My Playlist podcast with Governor Tom. And we're going to come back and close off in a second. But here it is. Please add this to your playlist. Thank you. Okay, so I know you're not a musician.
I got it. Okay.
What if you're just a music lover?
Yes.
Perfect. You're the perfect person to come on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Share with us your favorite breakup song, your summertime put the convertible top down song, maybe your wedding song. What was your first dance? Oh, come on. All romantic. Come on the Add to My Playlist podcast and share your favorite song and the story behind it. We would love to have you. Yes, you. You love music. Come on the Add to My Playlist podcast today. Everyone, thank you for being part of the Add to My Playlist podcast today, everyone. Great to have Governor Tom on. We've taken an hour out of his day, and it's great to have him here with us. And I really do appreciate you making time for all of us. This is awesome. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up in the future. And the big thing, too, is how to connect with you. Where are you most active and all of that great stuff? Where do we go? And give us a little taste of what's to come.
Okay, so what's to come is I'm finishing up my last track that's going to combine with the four we just discussed, and it's going to be released as an EP this month, later this month. So Ooh. That's exciting, and I'll be posting a lot about that. And you know, this last song is no less than the other four. It's just, you know, I had to hold on to one of them, so they couldn't all be singles. So that's coming out this month. Good. And then I've got another. I know I'm going to put out another EP hopefully by the end of the year in December. I'm working a lot with my son now. He's been studying guitar for 7+ years, and he actually plays the rhythm guitar on Public Eye, which is so great, because, you know, you can hear that, Dave. You can hear youth. I can hear youth. I don't know if you can hear youth, but I can hear youth. And you can just hear that, to me anyway. Maybe I'm just imagining it, but It was a pleasure and an honor and a treat to have it to have, you know, included him. And then another of my sons is a singer, and he sang the background vocals on Living Wild along with our anonymous singer. Nice. Who was on yeah. So anyway, that said, so my son and I are working on these. I've got at least a couple of dozen tracks. Again, for me, it's just about having taken the time with this first EP to discover, you know, how to proceed. And so now I'm ready to, like, you know, to start upping the pace a little bit and putting out more and more music all the time. And yeah, it's a lot of work. And also there's, you know, I'm going to put together some videos. It's, you know, I'm a one man show. I don't have the funding at the moment to really be able to, you know, pay a lot of people. So I wind up doing like a lot of this stuff myself. So it's just slow.
Nice.
But that aside, you know, it's an everyday commitment and my skills and techniques have just progressed enough at this point where I can get in there, and rather than exploring and finding, I'm like, no, you know, this works, this doesn't work, let's just make the music. So so that's where I'm headed. And then as far as finding me, I've got a website at governortommusic.com.
Okay.
I ran into a bit of a hiccup in choosing the name Governor Tom, because I really invested in Facebook. Right now my Facebook page is sort of, the tag is The Music of Tom Wood. Tom Wood is me as an actor. Governor Tom is my artist name as a musician. But with Governor Tom, Facebook would not let me do. There was so much stuff because all that political brouhaha that happened. And all the restrictions that they put. And then you're dealing with algorithms and you're dealing with robots and you can't correct anything.
Right,
and you can't explain. Nah, it's a black hole. So I know that that's not 100% resolved. So when you say, tell people where to find me, if you see GT Music, if you see Governor Tom, if you see the music of Tom Wood, you're in the right place.
Okay.
And as far as Insta and Facebook and all that, but my website is governortommusic.com, and that's where you can sign up and get the most stuff and the most current information.
Yeah. And then again, you can go to Apple Music, Spotify, all those places. And you can see the entire list of songs that we talked about, and future songs will be there as well, which is awesome. Again, Governor Tom, I really appreciate you making time for us today and, carving out some time to have this conversation. And again, it's great to connect with you. And I really enjoy the music and I love what you're putting out there into the world. And just want to encourage you to keep going and keep sharing that story. And I love, again, how you've got away from the camera and grabbed that mic and jumped up on stage and taken your music and put it out into the world. That's amazing. So thank you for making time for us.
You're welcome. I really appreciate your awareness and your understanding. So thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Hey, guys, just jumping on here quick. This is the Add to My Playlist podcast. My name is Dave. If you go to our website, truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist, you can now leave us a voicemail and we'll put you on the podcast. Yes, you can be on the podcast. We would love to have you on. Leave us a message when you go there. This is what it sounds like. I recorded one. I'm going to insert it right here so you can hear what it sounds like. Leave us a message. Tell us what your favorite episode was. Who else should we talk about on the podcast? Who should we have as a guest? You tell us. Your voice on our podcast. I love this. Here we go. This is what it sounds like. So I'm over here on truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. I'm on the website for the Add to My Playlist podcast. I see a great video looking for guests. I see all kinds of great stuff here about the Add to My Playlist podcast. And then there's this button. It says, leave us a message. We want to hear from you. A podcast that wants to hear from its listeners? OMG. Yes, you can go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. And you can click the link and record a message, which we will include in our podcast. Do you want to hear your voice in the podcast? Leave us a comment. Leave us a suggestion. Hey, if you have a song that you want to hear featured on the Add to My Playlist podcast, record it right here on the website. We'll use you in the episode and we'll give you full credit. Go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Hit the button, record a message, and we'll put you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. So head over to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Leave us a voicemail. Very simple. Come on, don't wait. We want to hear from you. Thanks.